And can we work the echo out of the mic this morning? I've got pretty good feedback coming through. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but when I get into it, you might. I don't know. So let's try that. All right, let's turn in grab your pew Bible. But what I want to talk to you about, there's two things I'm going to cover the next 2 weeks. The first one is, so the title of it is Back to the Basics. The first one is prayer. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus and what that involved for him and the consistency and those types of things of his prayer life. And what does that look like in your life? And then next week we're going to talk about service. What does service look like in your life? And that pertains to what are you doing in the kingdom of God? And we're going to ask that question, are you doing your part? And so those are the next couple weeks we're going to spend some time there. So let's turn in our Bible to the book of Matthew. And we're going to read some verses that pertain to prayer, maybe how we should pray and maybe who we should pray for. We'll look at the life of Jesus here just a little bit and how he prayed. And so let's dig into that this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 47. We're going to start out with the toughest verses first. All right? Follow along with me as I read to you. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. I'm on about page 1553 or so. This is Jesus here. And now look at his prayer life. Look what he does. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. How many of you are early risers? Can you tell me what time's the sun come up? How many of you are up before the sun? Quite a few of you, right? Is it always easy to get up before the sun comes up? No. But Jesus is up before the sun came up. Some of you are smiling and laughing. What I wanted you to look at is, look at the sacrifice he makes. This is what he does in his life. He's up before the sun to spend time with his Father in prayer. Right? And then turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, just one verse in there, verse 18. All right, Paul is writing this, and this is what Paul says. This is how you should pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And so that's what we're going to read this morning. I'm going to pick up some other passages when we get into our message here this morning. You want to keep your Bible open. There will be a pretty good one in 1 Thessalonians that I'll cover, and also in the book of Hebrew this morning. But with that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may you bring your word to life through your Spirit today. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your church, those that are online. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, Lord, their souls to receive your teaching today, your instruction for life. Lord, may we learn something new about prayer here today that we've never learned before. Lord, open our eyes to those things. Challenge us in our own lives with this message today. Lord, may these words be yours and not mine. May you fill me with that same Holy Spirit as I bring your message to your people, in whom I pray, amen. How many of you have this in your near future? All right, I'm going to do a little poll here this morning, and I want you to work with me just a little bit. And we're going to start out at the youngest here. And so how many of you are going to be going to preschool or kindergarten this fall for the first time you get to go to school? If you do, I want you to stand up. All right? There's a couple of you. I know there's a lot of families that are gone this morning. All right, stay standing for me, okay? How many of you, this is the first time that you're going to enter into junior high, seventh grade? And maybe if you go to middle school somewhere else, maybe you're going to sixth grade. If you're going to enter into junior high, would you stand up this morning? Here we got one right here. Okay, and a couple back here. How many of you, this is the first time that you're going to enter into high school? Stay standing. You're going to enter into high school as a freshman. You're going to be in ninth grade. Stand up this morning. All right, there's a few more that are standing up. All right, how many of you are going to college the first year? You're a freshman in college. Stand up this morning. There's a few more of you. All right. Now, here's my question. You can sit back down, okay? Parents, if one of your children stood this morning, my question for you is this. Are you ready for that change in your life? And how are you dealing with that? What kind of emotions do you have? Because this morning I want to talk about some first times, and I want to talk about some last times this morning. And what does your prayer life look like when you think about those things in your life? And so I want you to think about that this morning. What emotions are you feeling? And maybe your kids are all gone and you're empty nesters and life is different. And for Dory and I, we're sending Aaron to school here in about 10 days, and he's our youngest, and we're going to be officially empty nesters at that point. And I'm excited about it, but yet there's mixed emotions, isn't there? I have a son that I'm not going to see every day anymore, and things change. Life changes, and you know what that's about. But so if you look at the back, the last several weeks, I've talked to you about a wide range of hot messes as well, in our families, in our job, in our faith, all those types of things. And what I want to do this morning is that I want to surround your life with maybe some help through prayer, all right? Now, if you were to go to a mom that is sending her kid to school, maybe the first child is getting on the bus or dropping off at preschool to kindergarten for the very first time, and I can relate to this because I remember Dory going through this. That is not an easy time, right, for a mom to do that. Or maybe a dad to do that, to send a child off to school. But I remember standing at the end of our driveway, and we had prayer together before the bus got there on the farm when we lived there yet. And we just went to God. God, watch over our family. This is new to us. This is different for us. This is not the norm for us in our lives. And you both know, and I, you both know that change is always happening in our lives. Always. Nothing ever stays the same. Even though you'd love it to stay the same. You know, your kids grow up, your kids go off, your kids get married, you have grandchildren, your parents pass away, others pass away. See, life is always changing. All the time. So in the midst of all this change that's going on in your lives, I think for you and I to know and to have some reassurance and some peace in your lives, I think we need to look at prayer. We need to look at the life of Jesus and the way that he lived his life in the midst of all those types of things that were changing for him this morning. I got a quote that I want to share with you here this morning. And this comes from Richard Foster. And he said this about prayer. Listen to what I'm going to read to you here. It's in the red box. You can follow along. To believe that God can reach us and bless us in the ordinary junctures of daily life is the stuff of prayer. You bring the simple things to him. You bring the common things to him as life changes for you and I. And then he goes on to say this. But when we pray, genuinely pray, the real condition of our heart is revealed. This as it is, should be, this is when God truly begins to work with us. The adventure is just beginning. And let me go on to talk to you. Have you ever noticed that prayer could be adventure? Because usually when you go to God in prayer, what is going on in your life? You might be prayers of praise, right? You might be praying gratitude to God for thankfulness. You might be lifting up prayers of need, maybe health concerns. Maybe something's going on in somebody's life that's close to you, a child or a brother or sister or mom or dad that needs prayer for something in particular. But have you ever looked at prayer as an adventure in faith? Because you're in a place that you've never been before in your life, in that situation. And you open up your heart to God for God to move in some way. Let me give you some more adventures. So I just mentioned adventure in faith. Adventure in vulnerability. Because now you got to get real with God. And you got to maybe ask or pray for something that you need to change or happen or come into your life. And you pray with the adventure of hope that God is going to do something with your prayer. But you also have adventure in sadness. Adventure in grief when hard things come into your families. And all the other stuff that life throws at you and I when we bring to the Lord. And that's what I want to listen to speak with you about this morning. So we're going to take a closer look at the life of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered, here's a question I want to throw at you this morning. Have you ever wondered how Jesus was able to accomplish all he did in such a short period of time when he's on earth? His ministry pretty much consisted of 3 years primarily. And he did all kinds of things, right? He got in his car and he drove from town to town and he got out and he had rallies, didn't he? Right? And he spoke to people. Pulled up in his new shiny car, had the air conditioner on, right? Things were going well. Nope, not at all. He walked. It was hot. It was demanding. He slept on the ground, right? But yet in 3 years, he did miracles that you couldn't believe. And you know those Bible stories of the things that he did. Have you ever wondered how could Jesus accomplish so much in the 3 years that he was there? And you might have the easy answer, say, well, he was God, right? But I'm going to challenge you this morning that he was also human. How many of you get tired after a little bit of a hike or a little bit of work? And maybe, how about a lot of work? Right? You get tired. And I think Jesus, he felt and feels that you and I feel in that human body. Right? He was partially divine. He was partially human. He experienced what you and I experience as he lived life. But 3 years, this is the answer to the question that I'm bringing to you this morning of how did he do so much in 3 years? And it's in the red box by his prayer life. That's how he made it possible. And I want to show you that this morning. He was always in communing with God the Father in heaven all the time. Here's your first verse that I'm going to give you. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And from what we know from the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it appears that Jesus kept a regular rhythm of prayer throughout his life. So let me ask you the question this morning then. What does your prayer rhythm look like in your life? Do you have one? Do you need to get one? Do you feel you're in a good spot right now with the rhythm of prayer in your life and the time spent with the Heavenly Father? Because if Jesus, his life pertained to prayer with communion with the Father in heaven, guess what you and I need to be doing in our lives? We need to be communing with the Father in heaven in our prayer lives. We need to, Jesus is the example, and that's what we need to follow as well. And so I got three things that I'm going to bring to you this morning that we're going to look at and I'm going to challenge you with in your life, three areas in Jesus' prayer life that we should be doing. All right? So here's the first one, and you're going to think, oh my, how am I going to do this? And this is the first thing. Learn to pray constantly. And some of you probably just tuned out. I can't do it. It's too much work. But hold on for just a moment. Let me explain this to you. What does this look like in life when we're supposed to pray constantly in our lives? Because it can be daunting when you start to think about it. But I'm going to give you some ideas to think about it in a different way this morning. And I do not believe that God would invite us into a prayer life and to do something that we couldn't accomplish without the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, of course. But I think he makes it possible for you and I to do these things because he calls us to them. Now, here's another verse I want to share with you this morning out of the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. We didn't read this morning, but here is what God expects. Notice what I'm going to read to you this morning of what he expects for you and I. All right? Rejoice always. Let me reframe that another way. Don't worry about everything. Rejoice always. Right? And then it goes on, pray continually. Commune with the Father always. All the time in your life. Give thanks in all circumstances, whether good or not so good. Is what he says. And then here's the part I want you to catch on to. For this is God's will for you and I. Right? When you will something to somebody, you want them to do it to the best and to all of your knowledge, and you wish I just want you to do this. You have to try it, right? He's willing it for you and I. Those things in our lives. And that's what he's asking of you and I if we're going to live this Christian life. Pretty simple, right? No, not really. It can be very difficult and very hard. It's not so simple. It's not easy. Because you encounter billions of distractions, billions of temptations that come into your life every day and throughout your week that pull you away from being in communion with the Father, right? All kinds of things come into your lives that distract or pull you away. And here's the one I want to change your thinking just a little bit this morning, all right? So here's what I want you to think about in your life. Instead of seeing this is just impossible, I want you to think about the blessing of a Heavenly Father who wants all of you, all your life, all your thoughts, all of it. And if you can get to that place in your life, I promise you that when you start to commune with God the Father, it's going to become more natural the way that you live your life. It takes a little bit of practice. You have to give up those areas in your life that you're holding on to and give those to God. What area are you holding on to in your life that's yours, that you don't share with God the Father? That's the area that you need to give up and say, God, I need your help in this area. You need to be in communion with him because that's probably your biggest need that you have. Try talking about the simple stuff. Share with him the ordinary stuff of life. You know, some of us, we come to God and it's crisis level prayer. What am I going to do now, God? I don't know. We come, and you can come that way, but it doesn't have to always be that way. It doesn't have to be a prayer of desperation either. Come to God with the ordinary things of life. How many of you have a cell phone on you? Yeah, most of you do. Get it out and hold it up like this you have with you today. Come on, young people. I know you got them too. Seen them all at Rocky Mountain High. All right? So here's what I want you to think about. How many of you talk on the phone just about every day? How many of you text just about every day? Right? Keep your phone up, by the way. All right? Here's what I want you to think about. When you commune with God the Father, keep your phone way up there. When you commune with God the Father, it's like an open line on your phone that goes right to him in prayer every day. And guess what? He never gets sick and tired of you talking to him, ever. How many of you can put your phones down now? How many of you had a salesman call you on your cell phone and you leave it on and you just set it like that and you go about your business? And they're talking away over there and you just let them go, right? Not with God. When you call, he listens to every word. He listens to your mind. He sees your heart. He knows exactly what you're needing. It might not be your will, but his will. An open line of communication. Always. Any time of the day. Through the Heavenly Father. That's what I want you to understand about constant prayer. Go to God with everything that's concerning you, with everything that's being joyful or whatever it is in your life, and just sit before him. Soak it in. You'll find great peace in situations that you find yourselves in. When you get a diagnosis of cancer and you're not sure what to do with that word, just sit. Just soak it in. God, I don't know where this is going to go, but you do. Lord, for a young mom, I'm sending my first child to school next week. Lord, I need your help in this to be okay to let go. Do you see what I mean? Constant prayer in your life. Let's go on to the next one. Oh, excuse me. I got a story for you here this morning. Charles Francis Adams. How many of you remember the President John Quincy Adams? Right? I'm not asking if you're alive, because you were not. All right? But John Quincy Adams, you studied the presidents in school. This is, I'm not 100% sure. This is, I think, a son of John Quincy Adams, Charles Francis Adams. And he kept a great diary of his life, and those are still there today. So did his son, Brooke. And so one day, Charles and his oldest son, Brooke, they went fishing for the day, and Charles was a busy guy. He's a political figure. He's involved in government and stuff like that, and this is what he said about his day fishing with his son. Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted, is what he wrote in his diary. Now let me show you what his son wrote in his diary. Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. I want you to think about your prayer life. I want you to think about your relationship to God the Father in constant prayer. Because prayer is an investment of time with God. That young Brooke made his day that his dad took him fishing. You want to make God's day? Pray to the Father. He can't wait to hear from you. It is never wasted. So if you're struggling to find time to pray in your life, I'm going to pick on some of you farmers out there and some of you guys that, sometimes life, businessmen as well, sometimes life gets busy and sometimes we forget to pray. Moms, got a hectic house. God doesn't care how messy your house is. Spend some time in prayer. That's what he's seeking from you and I. You get the gist of this. Wherever you're at in your life, and if I missed out you and you're not a farmer or businessman or you're not a young mom, you're included in this. What kind of time are you investing in your prayer life with the Father? Because it is not wasted at all. Now, here's the second thing I'm going to bring to you this morning. This might be a little bit challenging for some of you in your faith walk, but I'll explain it. I'll give you some Bible verses that will help back this up. Learn to pray boldly in your prayers when you come to God. Bold prayer, it takes practice as well. Now, here's where you're going to be challenged at in your life, because we've learned in Scripture that we must come to God in reverence and in awe because we are in the presence of the Almighty. Would you agree with me? Correct? The Father, the Creator, the Giver of life, you enter to the throne room of heaven when you pray. So how am I supposed to come boldly to God when I have a father that's like that? Right? That can be challenging in our lives. But here's how I want you to look at it this way. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews 4, verse 16. It's on the screen this morning as well. It says this to you and I. Let us then approach God's throne, right? The throne in heaven of grace. With confidence, because he's God the Creator, and the things that Jesus has done for you and I on the cross have wiped all that clean. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been set free in your life. And when you're set free, all that crud that you think you carry around of sin and whatever it might be that weighs you down is gone. And the writers of Hebrews says, come boldly to God, come with confidence, because he's going to answer your prayer. Come boldly to God. I love the idea of freedom when you can come to God in prayer, to the Almighty, because of the work of Jesus Christ. Not anything that we've done, but what God has done. Be bold. Be bold when you come to God. Bring all your prayers to him, with a capital A, by the way. So, if you're experiencing some firsts in your life or some lasts in your life, bring those to God. Be bold. God, I need your help adjusting to a new way of life. This is new territory for me. I've never been here before. Be bold when you come to God. And here is the third way I want you to pray this morning. Learn to pray for everyone. Learn to pray for people you may not like, including your enemies and your adversaries. Matthew 5, verse 44 says this, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus gives us clear direction here to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Now, I want you to think about it in this realm of light here this morning. Because I know, you know, some of us, we get persecuted for our faith, what we believe in. And it's different throughout this whole entire world, the different kinds of persecutions that people face. Maybe you've been abused or someone in a former relationship. There's all kinds of things that create enemies in our lives. But here's how I want you to think about your enemy. Whoever is that comes to mind when I say your enemy, and you all have one because it just popped in your head, that's who God wants you to pray for in your life. Whoever is your enemy, name, pray for them. That's not always an easy prayer. But that's what Jesus tells us to do in our prayer lives. And guess what? That enemy that you have in your life, they need that prayer the most. That God will do something in their life. That God will change the way that they live. That's what Jesus is asking for you and I to do. Not always easy, but that's what he says we must do. These are the people that need our prayers. Let me finish up with this morning. Jesus always made time for prayer. And this is just a few of the verses I brought to you. There are so many that I can bring to you about Jesus in your prayer life. But he always felt, he sought and worked out and found time for fellowship with the Father. You and I must do the same thing. Now back to that verse out of Mark. Remember I said how many get up before the sun in the morning? You can pray at any time. Maybe some of you pray before you go to bed at night. Maybe some of you find time throughout your day just to sit before God and pray and be in Scripture and so on. But this is what Mark 1:35 says. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Right? I'm thinking there's probably a few people that might have been snoring in the house yet. Didn't have a lot of quiet time, probably. Right? You can laugh if you'd like to at that one. But the point is that he left the house and he got away with just the Father. Just him and the Father. How about you this morning? Where's your place with you and the Father when it comes to prayer time? So, we learned about constant prayer, we learned about bold prayer, and we learned that we need to pray for everyone that we encounter in life. So here's your homework for the week. All right, since we're going back to school, you know, it's homework time again. All right, here's what I want you to do. This is, if you have an outline, it just goes home with you today. If you don't, you can scratch it down. So here's my challenge to you, church, this week. What time, every day this coming week, can you stop and pray with the Father? What big thing, what little thing, a concerning thing, a hard thing, do you need to be bold in prayer about this week? Take it to God. That hard thing that you're dealing with, you don't know what to do about. Take it to God. Pray boldly. I guarantee he can handle it. Third, what enemy needs your prayer this week in your life? I want you to pray for that person. Make space for it, just as Jesus did. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's by your will that you even give us life. Lord, it's your desire that we come to you and we pray to you earnestly, as we've learned this morning. Lord, help us to improve our relationship and our prayer life to you, whatever that looks like for each one of us, as we're in many different places. But Lord, may you call us deeper into faith with you. May we know you better through your word. Lord, may we share our heart's desires with you as we bring our prayers to you on a daily, constant basis. Teach us to pray, Lord, as we're going to sing in just a little bit, Lord, the Lord's Prayer. What does that mean to each one of us today? So may you go with us as we leave here today. May you challenge us with our homework. May we complete it as you've asked us to. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.